Right now, though, we are joined in studio by Mr. Ed Sitter from the Foundation for Life. And Ed, I feel like we could take all 3 hours to talk about. There's so much going on in life issues, and so much has happened just in the last time we talked to you.
Oh, yes, you're right, Tommy. It never ceases to amaze me how the enemy always overplays its hand.
Lots of news, both good and bad. Yep. If you've been watching national news, it's you may be kind of depressed and thinking, oh, because it's been a lot of bad news. But there's some good things happening here in the state of Ohio. Some good things happen in other places. But let's talk about a little bit, because you mentioned, you know, about the enemy overplaying your hand. And we've seen these abortion bills in New York, the one in Vermont, which is really extreme. And we saw the Senate refuse to pass the Born Alive Protection Act, basically voting for infanticide. They move beyond abortion and into infanticide. And I do agree. I think this is a sign that the pro-life cause is progressing.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And, you know, this is a kind of a reactionary move. And in fact, I saw a poll came out just the other day that even among pro-choice people are becoming more pro-life.
Yeah, I saw a similar poll that Democrats are even opposed to these infanticide bills.
It's really extreme. And I do think that this is, in the long run, you know, provided we remain vigilant and fighting, could be good things that are happening. Is that?
Yeah, I really do. Because this is what I call the silent Holocaust. This is the Holocaust that is taking place out of sight. People don't see it. And what's happened is that these bills that are being passed, the movie last year, Gosnell, this movie that's coming out with Abby Johnson, and all of the other things that are happening around the nation, what it's doing, it's bringing people's attention to this issue that most people just ignore it. They don't think about it. It doesn't come across their radar. And now it's a part of their conversation. And when they really look at this issue and they really begin to think about the consequences of the quote-unquote choices, they come to see that they're pro-life.
Yeah, and I think the fact that you see the abortion side so extreme, and the point that they're saying we're not even, you know, children born alive, we're not even willing to protect them.
That's right.
There's complete disregard for life. At that point, you're not even talking abortion. You're talking about a living child that nobody can deny. All right? I mean, you can't play any rhetorical games that they like to play. And we know it's life from the moment of conception.
Right.
But, you know, they'll play all the rhetorical games. But at that point, all your rhetorical games fail. There's a living child outside of the mother, and they're saying, yeah, but you still should be able to kill it if you don't want it.
Why? Because it's property. It's not a human being created in the image and likeness of God. It is a mere property of the parents.
And they, you know, showing their complete disregard for any respect for life and sanctity of life. Some lives just aren't worth protecting. Some lives don't have rights. And it's such an extreme view. Even among, like, pro-choice people, I mean, overwhelmingly oppose that. Even people who would identify themselves as pro-choice, by overwhelming majorities, like 68-70%, say, no, we don't want that. And what are they thinking? I mean, they're so overplaying their hand. Are their hearts just so darkened? Is that it? Or what's going on?
I would agree with you totally. I think it's just they're so blinded, and their hearts are so hardened. And the reality of it is that the people that are advocating for abortion, that are advocates for abortion, not the pro-choice vast majority people, who are really, when you begin to unpeel that onion, we find that the vast majority of those people are truly at their core pro-life, okay? But they just want to say the politically correct thing.
Yeah.
But the people that are advocating and promoting abortion, at their core, they believe this because it's a most fundamental worldview. Either you are created in the image and likeness of God, but you have to believe in God, okay? Or you're a blob of goo, just material matter, and that matter is subject to the rights of the people that produce that matter, you know?
And, you know, it's as distasteful as it is, and we're literally talking about infanticide, the murder of a baby. That's the natural logic of the abortion
position. Precisely.
I mean, that's
a conclusion.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, if they have a right to terminate that life at the moment of conception, then why don't they have that right? What's the magic about an 8-inch birth canal?
Yeah.
You know, seriously, what transpires? The fact that they take a breath? Yeah, you know, they still can't think for themselves. They can't. They're totally dependent upon their parents. You know, all the arguments that the pro-choice, really pro-abortion people make, those same arguments are applicable the moment after birth.
Well, and I think that's a big shift, too, is that now the argument is that abortion is a moral good. It isn't. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what it used to say. You know, we realize abortion is a tough thing. It's a terrible decision. And, you know, it should be safe, legal, rare. We understand there's a lot of moral complexity. They've done with all that.
They've thrown
all that out. They're like, you know what? No, it's good. It's good for women to have abortions. It's almost like, you know, we had some people getting out. I mean, some celebrity, I won't name her to, you know, save her the shame, but she said, I wish I could get pregnant just so I could have an abortion. I mean, it's that kind of deep, twisted thinking that is motivating. It's really kind of sad and depressing when you think about it, that people are so lost, and they truly are.
And I was at a rally, kind of day of memorial, some local churches put together. And the reality is that you need both sides of a coin. One side of the coin is the law, because the law is a teacher, and the purpose of the law is to restrain evil, okay? Mm-hmm. And abortion is evil, okay? On the other side of the coin is changed hearts. People's hearts and minds have to be changed and transformed. And the only way that is done is through revival, because this nation has gone so dark that apart from the outpouring mercy of God upon this nation to begin to what I call grassroots revival from the bottom up, I fear for this nation. I really do.
Yeah. But now that's the bad news.
Yep.
But there is good news, you know, and I do think that ultimately this is like the Battle of the Bulge in World War II, you know,
the last
German offensive before they collapsed. And I think for abortion, this is their Battle of the Bulge, because I think they see it is collapsing. We know this is one of the most pro-life generations ever coming up because of modern technology, modern ultrasounds. It's getting harder and harder for them to make the argument this is just a blob of tissue.
Right.
Because we see that clearly it is not. And we've known from the beginning it's not. And so in here in Ohio, we've got some good things happening. In other states, there are good laws that are being passed. So tell us what's happening in Ohio. I know we got the legislative briefing breakfast coming up where people can find out more. But briefly, what do we have happening in Ohio that's positive and good?
Just to get back to the briefing breakfast, if they want a kind of a really detailed update, we'll be providing that at the breakfast, what's happening legislatively. But the highlights are this. The heartbeat bill is in the process of moving through the Senate, and then it'll go on to the House. Now, the House has passed it three times. So they said to the Senate, you pass it first, and then we'll pass it, because the votes are there. In fact, in the House side, they have 50 co-sponsors, which is kind of unheard of.
Yeah.
And in the Senate side, they have 18. They only need 19 to override a governor's veto. But Governor DeWine has committed before the election, after the election, that he will sign the heartbeat bill. He wants that on his desk. He wants it on his desk around Easter.
Yeah, so we know he will sign that if they put it before him.
Yeah. And it's on a fast track. It's going to happen. This is about as done a deal as it's going to take place. Yeah.
So that's some good news. And tell us, I mean, what does exactly the heartbeat say?
Modern science, again, as it continues to evolve, we continue to detect the heartbeat sooner and sooner. And in some cases, as early as 6 weeks, okay? Most women don't even realize they're pregnant, okay? And it can be as late as 9 weeks, sometimes depending. But anyway, they do. If they detect through an ultrasound that the heart is beating, then this bill would protect that life. You know, we use the analogy, and we believe life begins at conception, but stay with me for a minute. Most people understand that death happens when the heart stops beating.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very logical for people to understand that life begins when the heart starts beating. So this is going to save, for example, in Ohio, tens of thousands. There's about 23,000 to 24,000 abortions annually in Ohio. This will save the vast majority of those babies.
Yeah. And so it's exciting news there, and now I'm sure it'll go to the courts. It'll get contested, but, you know, it has to happen.
Last year, we just passed a dismemberment bill. They're challenging it in the courts.
Yeah.
Every pro-life bill that we pass with any substance at all, they challenge.
Yeah, and, you know, but that's not necessarily bad. And, you know, depending on where the courts go, maybe they'll reverse some of the poor rulings they've had in the past and come back to more of a life position. And, of course, we can, as you mentioned, the legislative briefing breakfast is coming up where people can get all the details on this and everything else that's happening, because I know there's more than just this happening. There's always a bunch of stuff that's going on. So tell us about the legislative briefing breakfast coming up.
Yeah, I want your listeners to understand that this is not a political event. In other words, there'll be no campaigning. There'll be no posturing from that standpoint. What it is we bring local elected representatives together with the community, and we allow them to kind of begin to formulate relationship, build a relationship. And also, this year, our keynote speaker is Paul Dobson. He's the Wood County prosecutor. He's a believer. He's pro-life. He'll share about the office that he serves in, Wood County Prosecutor's Office. And so people get an understanding of how government operates and what its functions and purposes are, as well as for the people there to find out legislatively. We'll give them a legislative briefing and give them all the insights into what's happening legislatively. So, and we commit to you, and we've been successful all 10 years previous to get you out by 9. We know people need to get off to work. So if you can get off to work a little bit later, maybe your work starts at 8, 8:30, maybe you can call in, you know, and let the boss know you're going to be a little late, but we'll have you out of there by 9.
Yes, and Jeff and I will be there again this year.
Awesome,
so
very cool.
We were there last year, and yeah, it's great. It's a great event. Great event to get informed about what's going on. And I learned, I mean, last year I knew from talking to you, I knew most of the major stuff. But then I got there and was like, oh, there's this happening and this happening and this happening. There's a lot more going on than even what we can discuss in our limited time.
Yeah,
here.
And we're going to share with you a little bit about how you can make a difference, how you can get engaged. You know, as an average person, we don't always know what avenues are available to us and how important our voice is.
And tell us about, for folks who don't know, what is the SEAL team?
Yeah, SEAL teams are students equipped to advocate life. It's our youth program, basically from high school through college. And we just want to empower and equip the next generation to have a biblical pro-life worldview, understand that, you know, they're going to get out there in the communities and in their schools and different places, and they need to be positive, compassionate advocates for a pro-life view.
Yes, so raising up that next generation.
Yep.
Because we know let's be honest, this is a generational fight.
Amen.
And even if tomorrow the whole country said, yes, we're going to say no to abortion and be pro-life, you'd still have to pass that on to the next generation.
Amen.
You know, I mean, it is a fight that has to go on every single day or every single generation. So once again, legislative briefing breakfast coming up Friday, March 15th at the Pinnacle in Maumee.
It's a full breakfast. It's not a continental breakfast. They go to fflnwo.org and they can register there online. Or then call the office 419-535-5800, 535-5800. And they can register over the phone as well.
Ed, thank you so much. We appreciate all the good work you're doing in the realm of life and keeping us updated, and always appreciate your time.